Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today podcast on the 21st of March, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank along with CJ Miller checking in with the news today on the HAT podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. The reason for a drop in the price of eggs nationally and a system of testing cows to make sure they're getting the right antibiotic treatments. That's coming up on the news today. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says not as cold today with rain and snow chances in the coming days. And yesterday's corn and bean futures worked higher. Wheat sold off. We'll have numbers and Carl Setzer market commentary on the HAT Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Why egg prices aren't nearly as high as they were just a month ago, and a new ag bioscience company based in Indiana that's revolutionizing cattle care. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by McDonald's of Indiana, proudly supporting local farmers. The Golden Arches source over 1.4 million dozen eggs, nearly 6 million pounds of pork, and more, all from right here in Indiana. Well, perhaps the price that you're paying for a carton of eggs at your local grocery store has gotten a little lower compared to what it was just a month ago. USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins says one factor is that far fewer eggs are now leaving the country.
Shell egg exports have declined 8% over the last 12 months, meaning that those eggs that would typically be exported are remaining in the United States. This means that more U.S. eggs are staying in the country for American consumers instead of being exported at this time.
She also says USDA is working to temporarily import eggs to increase the supply.
Turkey and South Korea have both confirmed they will be increasing breaker egg imports into the U.S. USDA continues conversations. In fact, I was on one earlier today regarding another country who's ready to import a significant amount of eggs in the short term. But we continue to work that issue very, very aggressively, again, just for the short term, to keep getting the price of eggs down.
And even though the U.S. egg supply is on the rise, Rollins adds that the busy Easter holiday season and the fact that so many folks are coloring Easter eggs with their kids and grandkids, it typically creates a significant spike in egg demand.
So while we're noting today that prices are exponentially down, and we're really, really encouraged by that, there is always a possibility those prices could tick back up.
You can hear much more from USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, there's a brand new ag bioscience company based in Indiana called Krishi, and they've developed a brand new platform called Sherpa that's designed to help cattle producers and veterinarians.
It began with a problem. One of our chief engineer today owns a cattle feedlot, and he came to us and said, I wish I could figure out a way to better assess which antibiotics to use because I waste a lot of time and money. And that sort of began the journey.
And that's Aaron Gilberti, CEO of Krishi. He says that Sherpa provides testing of beef and dairy cattle to make sure they're receiving the right antibiotic treatments.
So let's say I'm a cattle producer. I have an animal that's exhibiting signs of BRD. I've made a determination that I want to treat this animal. Normally, that producer would reach for an antibiotic, and typically that's based on their best guess. What's worked in the past, what's worked most recently, maybe what they think the disease might be. What we're looking to do is elevate that decision so the first treatment counts and is a better performer than currently.
He says the Sherpa antibiotic guidance platform is simple to use and it provides rapid results.
There's two components. One we call Sherpa Vision, which is an integrated heater and imager device. And the second is a Sherpa chip, which includes all of the embedded reagents inside a single chip. All a cattle producer would need to do is take a nasal swab from that animal, or if the veterinarian's there, perhaps they want to do a deep pharyngeal swab. They dilute that in a little bit of saline. They apply it simply to our chip. One application with a needle, they put it on our Sherpa Vision, and within 1 hour, our device will tell them what antibiotics might be less effective so that they don't pick those. They pick the ones that will be most effective, thereby improving animal health and husbandry and also improving the bottom line.
Read more about the new Sherpa platform from Krishi at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Times are uncertain in agriculture today. There's no farm bill, trade tariffs are looming, and the property tax debate is a mess. There is one thing you can depend on. Hoosier Ag Today is here to keep you informed with all the information you need that's vital and relevant to your farming operation. Even if it isn't good news, you'll hear it here first at Hoosier Ag Today. On air, online, and at the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Not as cold today. We're pushing pause on the return of winter via Mother Nature just a little bit. So temperatures are bouncing back ever so slightly after that 30-plus degree drop from Wednesday to yesterday that, personally, I absolutely hated. Now, it's going to be short-lived here, this little pause, because clouds are going to be increasing late this afternoon, and that's ahead of another minor disturbance that comes through overnight tonight into tomorrow morning and midday. I think we have to leave the door open to some spits and sprinkles and likely wet snowflakes that fly across the Hoosier State. The moisture is not impressive, a few hundredths to a tenth max, but it's here, and then we get clouds to break up a little bit later tomorrow afternoon and evening. Partly sunny skies to start Sunday, and then clouds increase because we have a major weather system that wants to try and move through from late Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening through Monday. Rain and wet snow both. I think rain over most of the state through sunset Sunday, and then the wet snow climbs in as we get into the cold sector overnight Sunday night into Monday. Although at this point it does look like the most snow stays north in Michigan and the southern part of this system moves away as rain, there's a chance that we make it through Monday with no snow and only rain falls through sunset on Sunday night. So we'll see. The system's kind of gone back and forth. Data's been all over the place. We'll watch and see how it unfolds. Either way, cold air is the main player behind it. And we see this cold pocket of Canadian air sit right on top of the Great Lakes and the Eastern Corn Belt for the entirety of next week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and even Friday. In this cold sector, we can see on again, off again, little blurbs of moisture. So I'm going to say keep an eye out for wet snowflakes, probably Tuesday into Wednesday, maybe not so much on Thursday. But by Friday, we're starting to see temperatures try and moderate ever so slightly. That's moderation is going to generally bring a bigger weather system. So I'm looking for the 29th, that is Saturday, on through the 30th, the 31st, the 2nd and 3rd, for us to have a very ripe environment for probably 2 to 3 weather systems coming out of the plains, moving across into this cold sector in the Great Lakes. So rain and maybe some wet snow, but a lot of rain as warm air, I think, eventually wins out. But we could be looking at 2 inches plus over that multi-day period very, very easily. So a very wet pattern is going to emerge for the flip of the calendar from March into April. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. It does look like April then is going to try and start a little bit milder, and maybe we can keep those slightly above normal temperatures in through the rest of the month. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine. You're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
From the Farm Bill to foreign farmland ownership and international trade, ag policy is having a big impact on Indiana farming operations. The Hoosier Ag Today Indiana Ag Policy Podcast provides in-depth coverage on these and many other important and complex issues. Get the details behind the headlines with the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, hosted by Eric Pfeiffer. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com, the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Corn and beans work the high side by the end of trade. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. All the final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis. And for that, I turn to Carl Setzer late in the session. Carl is with Consus Ag Consulting. Wheat futures lower all day. However, beans get turned around and finally followed corn, Carl. So pretty nice move overall in corn futures on Thursday, and beans did follow.
Corn started out today with some good gains coming through, a little bit of risk premium starting to get added into that complex. Number one, the U.S. planting season underway, and once you do get the crop, even just as little bit taking place as we've seen on the planting side, it is enough to start giving you some futures benefit. The other thing that corn benefited from today, the weekly export sales coming in, up 55% from last week, 1.49 million metric tons this year. Next year's sale coming in 61,400 metric tons, upper end of trade estimates. And we also, the third benefit coming from technical trade there, a lot of spread trading with buying on the front months, selling out in the deferred months as we head into the beginning of month and quarter end positioning. So that gave us our corn trade today. A lot of the same factors in the soy complex, a good week of export sales, technical trading giving us more support to the front months there as well. Soybeans also taking some support from South American production estimates are starting to walk themselves back a little bit. Saffron was a big one this week that cut production, and then Abiav, the big crusher, come out and took 3 million metric tons off the top side of their Brazilian soybean crop estimate, getting it back in line to where the USDA is, putting a little bit more buying interest into that market. And like you said, wheat down across the board today. The only way you could describe export sales on wheat were pathetic. A negative 249,000 metric tons on the old crop contracts. Panama, a huge buyer last week, canceled almost all of it this week, and that gave us the negative number. New crop wheat sales, a little much better at 491,000 metric tons, but not enough to offset the negativity in the old crop.
Shall we read anything into the move higher in corn futures, as in we can see further movement like this right on up until the end of the month?
I think we do start to see a little bit more buying interest in the corn market. Corn futures starting to be led by the cash market. Ethanol margins starting to pick up here going into month end. Most plants across the U.S. 10 cents in the black on what they're producing. Just a few weeks ago, they were in the red on their gallon production. So they're coming back online, and we're seeing a very sharp decline in country movement as more farmers start focusing on the spring planting season. So I do think we see corn hold some strength into month end.
I expected the short answer to my question to be no. So it sounds like some optimism on your part.
I am a little bit optimistic on corn here. Looking at what end users are willing to pay for corn, we're starting to see a flat price rally across the interior market, and that is giving me some optimism moving forward here.
Not so much, though, obviously, on the wheat side of things. And beans, how optimistic are you there?
Soybeans, I'm relatively optimistic. I can see soybeans trading more sideways as we move forward here. It depends a lot on what we see out of the remaining bushels in Brazil that they're harvesting right now. if yields continue to walk down, I think we'll see soybeans continue to ratchet their way up. China getting a little wishy-washy on their soybean demand outlooks, keeping that market a little unsteady. And wheat, it looks like wheat has got a long road in front of it. Our year-to-date sales and exports on wheat are still really good, but we got a long ways to go here. And if we start seeing more cancellations before the year end, it's going to be tough to get that to turn around.
Carl Setzer there, Consus Ag Consulting. His number is 989-506-1587. The markets are powered by Purple Wave Auction. Purple Wave makes buying and selling used ag equipment easy. For information, visit purplewave.com. On the Hat Thursday market review, up in corn and beans, May corn 469, up 7 cents. July 475 and a half, up 6 and a quarter. Dece 453, up a penny and a half. 4 3/4 better, May beans 10.13. July ends at 10.25 and a quarter, up 3 3/4. Novi up a quarter cent, 10.10 and a quarter. May wheat 5.57 and a quarter, down 6 1/4. Meats were mixed. April live cattle 208.47, up $1.65. April lean hogs 85.55, down 2. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Thursday review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.